Frisch serviert, der Steuerpodcast.
Hello everybody, and we are back again for Frisch serviert. But today we are doing another one of our English-speaking episodes because we are having a foreign guest. And for all of you non-native German speakers, Freshly Served is the name of this podcast. And who is doing the podcast? And then we come to our guest. That's Anna. Hi, Anna.
Hi, Christian.
There you go. And we are having as our special guest today, Alexia Kadachaki, certainly mispronounced, and it's bad because we know each other so long. And Alexia is the Secretary General of IFA, the International Fiscal Association, and the head of the Secretariat. And we'll come to what that means in a second. Hi, Alexia.
Hi, Christian, and I have to congratulate you because actually you are one of the first people that have not mispronounced my last name. So thanks for that, and thank you for the kind invitation. It's really great to be here with you and Arne. Of course, we work very closely together in the context of IFA, but I also know Arne well from my PwC time. It is really, really great to cross paths again.
Perfect. Absolutely. I'm also very happy that you're here. I'm glad to see you again.
That's wonderful. So let's maybe go into details. And then before we go and talk about your current role and IFA, enlighten us a little bit and tell us something about yourself. How did you find your way into tax and what your career steps had been so far?
Yeah, thank you. You know, my last name is Greek. Because I'm born and raised in Greece, but also growing more Dutch by the day as I have been living and working in the Netherlands for more than 13 years now. I'm a tax lawyer by education and prior work experience, and my focus throughout my professional career has been in international and European tax law. And as you said, I'm currently the Secretary General and the head of the Secretariat of the International Fiscal Association. To answer your question on how I found my way to tax, I think you could characterize it as an intended coincidence. Growing up, I was a fairly good and ambitious student, and then it has been, you know, the usual dilemma, being a lawyer or being a doctor. Doctor was really out of the question for me, so law it became. And that is kind of the coincidental part. The intended part is that a very close late family friend was a tax partner at EY at that time, one of the very bright minds of his time. And not only he encouraged me to study law and specialize in tax law, but also to, you know, already from a very early age, as soon as I entered the university, start working at a small accounting firm to gain some practical experience, and which was then followed by a law traineeship in one of the prominent tax law boutiques in Greece. So for me, you know, from the beginning, I felt that I had really found my match. I really enjoyed the intellectual challenge that comes from the complexity and the ever-changing character of our field, and how it is continuously relevant and how it can be very interdisciplinary. So I have been doing that with a lot of pleasure for all those years.
Perfect. And Alexia, really good to have you here on the call. Really, really happy to reconnect. And I think this is a little bit for all the listeners, the series. We were trying to also have interview partners from different institutions, I call it. We had one basically from the Beck Verlag, who is basically a co-sponsor of this podcast. And now we have you from IFA. And of course, for a lot of people back home, basically listening to that, there might be a few ones, maybe, who doesn't know IFA so far, because obviously in the Netherlands you're very present, in Germany as well, but also we have a lot of young listeners, which you're targeting with Young IFA, as we know. But yeah, it would be just good to give a little bit of explanation. What is IFA? What's the purpose? What are members, branches, and so on and so forth, just to get the ones at home who doesn't know IFA yet become really kind of a true believer in kind of where can I sign on to IFA and what does it mean? Maybe for you a little bit of a chance to give us a bit of background.
Yeah, thank you for the question. And how much time do I have for this? Because I have a lot to discuss and to explain.
We
But
have a few days.
really, in a nutshell, IFA is a unique global and independent platform where representatives of all professions and interests can meet and discuss international tax law issues at the highest level. IFA is actually a very seasoned organization. It was founded at the Peace Palace in The Hague back in 1938, so we are closely approaching our 100 years. And it is still headquartered in the Netherlands. And within our organization, the headquarters is what we call Global IFA. And as a member of IFA and Christian, and well, you as well know it very well because you are very active members, we are really focused on the study of international tax law and tax policy through research, discussion, and collaboration among experts. When it comes to membership, our members are tax professionals from all around the world and represent all the various constituencies within tax. So, academics, government officials, international organization representatives, judges, corporate tax leaders, and of course, tax practitioners, so lawyers and advisors. And IFA really serves as a bridge between these tax experts. We give them a respected and independent platform where tax challenges and reforms of the past, the present, and the future are debated at a neutral, high-quality professional level, both from a policy, but also very importantly, from a practical perspective. You know, we have a motto. It is growing local, becoming global. And we currently have more than 30,700 members, which are spread across 71 branches and 5 regions. And I spoke about branches. Branches are the local organizations. We have, as I said, branches in 71 countries, and we are currently in the process of establishing branches in Romania and Ivory Coast. And we very often receive inquiries from other countries around the world to establish a branch. Typically, what happens is that if there is not a branch in a country, members can become what we call direct members of IFA through the global organization. But then, you know, they meet each other and in the same country, and they realize, why don't we set up a branch? And this is what we do, and this is how we expand as an organization. What else can I say? In terms of what the regions and the branches are doing, they organize local or regional events, and they contribute to global IFA's research and events. For instance, by authoring national reports every year for our IFA Cahiers, helping us develop the scientific program, and also, for instance, by proposing speakers for our flagship event, the annual IFA Congress. And they also very often do bilateral activities. A typical area is, for instance, when you have a new tax treaty between two countries, we often see branches having an event to discuss what that tax treaty means for the two countries.
I think for Anna and myself, as representatives of the male sex, it is very important to know which branch is the biggest. And now you have to say the right thing, because I know that the US colleagues, they always pretend that they are the biggest branch, but it's actually not true.
I think you can be very proud as German representatives that you hold the first position in terms of membership within our organization. So very well
Yeah,
done. And
at
you know,
least one topic we're number
it's
one.
not only, sorry.
At least one of the categories we're number one, we feel, you know.
No, and I think what's important is that, you know, it's not only that you have many members, but it's a very active branch, very well organized, and we do derive a lot of inspiration from you as well as from other branches that are, you know, also very inspiring.
Cool, perfect. No, thank you so much. And I think that was a very good overview. But in the intro, I already mentioned, you said that you are the Secretary General of Global IFA and the head of the Secretariat, and you're based in the Netherlands. The Netherlands, anyhow, are magnetic for tax people. I always have the feeling. So it's naturally that you moved over there. So, but what are you doing in that position? So what's how does your day look like? How big is the team, your full-time employee? So how many of full-time employees are there? And yeah, actually, how does your day look like?
Yeah, thanks. Actually, a funny story is if I was the reason I moved to the Netherlands 13 years ago, I was at that point awarded, or I applied and I got the position of being the IFA research associate. And yeah, you know, and I stayed. And to come to your question about my current position, let me start by saying that this is actually the first time within in our organization's history that the Secretary General and the head of the Secretariat positions are merged into one. And that derives from the need that has been identified, you know, a few years ago within the management, within the executive board, that in a similar way like other international organizations, it was necessary to have a full-time Secretary General so that, you know, we can ensure growth and continuity in the strategy and the operations of our organization. So what I do is, on the one hand, together with the other executive board members, including you, Christian, and you know, for those of the listeners who are not familiar, the executive board is the management body of the association that sets the strategy. We basically co-decide on the strategic direction of IFA and which priorities we should set, and we manage the association. And you know, on the other hand, I also head the General Secretariat, which basically ensures that those strategic priorities and those decisions that are taken are executed and followed. So in doing that, I am working very closely with the executive board, working very closely with our supervisory board, and also the, you know, our scientific compass, the permanent scientific committee of the association, that has a very pivotal role setting the scientific agenda of our organization. And of course, you mentioned before, young people, women, and we have the Women of IFA Network and the Young IFA Network, which are very important networks within our organization. At the same time, I seek to build close ties with our branches and our regions and support them in the best way we can, and also maintain institutional relationships with other international organizations and regional organizations, partners and stakeholders. So, you know, I see my role as serving our organization and our members and just trying hard to contribute in the best way I can to the advancement of the objectives and our mission. And as you said, I'm not doing that by myself. I have a team, the team of the General Secretariat, which is also based in the Netherlands, and I'm very proud of the team. It's a very international team of five very highly motivated, hardworking ladies. And basically, our team is really the main point of contact for our members, our regions, our branches, and it ensures that all the operations are running smoothly and, you know, all the areas that I addressed before are being actually addressed and pursued. Yeah, I think that's what we do, and we work hard, but we also enjoy it very much.
Yes. Thank you so much. That's very helpful, because indeed we know the position, but really have a little bit of a glimpse behind the scenes. It's really interesting. And when we talk about IFA, of course, one topic should not be forgotten. Enjoying is also getting together and have interesting discussion, the IFA Congress, you know. That's, of course, the big question, you know. What is the IFA Congress? Because I think for most IFA members, I would say, this is the one main event where people really focus on, and it's a very important part of it. And I can remember, basically, I don't know who it was, whether it was Stefan Wegel or Jürgen Lüdecke, who basically had to describe to me when I was a newbie, what is the IFA Congress? And I think either one of those told me it is actually the one international event, a real international event about international taxation. So if you want to go, this is the one event where you meet everyone and you discuss everything. So if you can talk a little bit, how is it organized? Also, there's a big event. You have also more events, now local events also, basically. That I think would be interesting to know, because sometimes people feel that they're losing a bit of track. You know, what is the big event I was referring to? What are the local events that could be helpful? And who's organizing the program? You know, the PC, Permanent Scientific Committee of the IFA, you know, what is that role basically, and how is it composed? I think that that could be interesting as well. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think the name of the podcast is very relevant. Freshly served. Don't ask me to say it in German. I won't attempt it. But because we have just come back from the IFA Congress in Lisbon, which has been actually the 77th Congress of the International Fiscal Association, and you know, I'm a little bit biased, but I think it overall went very well. you spoke about, you know, how the IFA Annual Congress has been perceived as the event for international tax law. Someone called it the Tax Olympics. I think that's also a fair characterization. Just to give you an example, in Lisbon, we had almost 2,300 participants from around the world. And we had more than 50 sponsors and exhibitors. And especially the last number is a record. The 2,300 is also one of the highest we've had. So we are very happy. And it is a week of an incredible mix of scientific discussions, exchanging ideas, insightful sessions, and many fascinating encounters with colleagues from all around the world. As you said, the Permanent Scientific Committee, with the help of the hosting branch, because we very much value the input from a scientific and from an organizational perspective of the local branch, they've put together a great program, and I think all scientific sessions were very well attended. And in the evening, on the social event side, we could treat participants to many of Lisbon's highlights, like for instance the Fado show, and we also had our Congress dinner at an old convent, which was really a very nice ending to a very inspiring week. Every year we try to improve the Congress. So this year we had some novelties, both from a scientific perspective and from an organizational standpoint. So from a scientific perspective, we had the first ever dialogue between the tax directors and tax administrations. And this time the topic was on dispute resolution, but we are intending to, you know, pursue different topics in the coming years. And this is really reflecting our endeavor to maintain and increase the appeal of our Congress and of IFA to those two constituencies. And we also, for the first time, had actually, I think, yes, we had 10 sponsor seminars. So seminars organized by our sponsors, which were very well attended. And I think they complemented very well the scientific program of the Congress. From an organization standpoint, you know, what we strive always is to give the best participant experience. And there are always ways to improve. But what we have done this year for the first time, for instance, is we have a Congress app that we use for years now. But this year we have also introduced AI-powered captions. And that allowed participants to both read and listen to what was being said on the stage in their own language. And just to stay on the technology space, which I think is a very important development, because as an organization, we really want to embrace technology. We pioneered for the first time a tax technology booth within our exhibition hall, where our sponsors and exhibitors could showcase their latest solutions, their expertise, and really showcase their thought leadership in this area. So I think it's fair to say, well, You know, my first Congress was back in 2012, and already then I immediately had the feeling the IFA Congress is an experience in and of itself. It is the place where tax professionals, young and old, from all around the world come together. They exchange their tax experiences and cultures, and yeah, and for many participants, it's really also where they connect with colleagues and meet inspiring professionals from all over the world. So it's really the embodiment of a global tax community.
And I can testify, Alexia, that you have been on fire for the whole time. I wonder, in a good way, I
Yeah.
wonder how much hours of sleep you had to actually catch up after the Congress. But that's not a question. That was just rhetorically said. But the Congress is now in the hands of global IFA. I remember Berlin, for example, and back before Berlin. It was the branches that were responsible for the Congress, sort of for the administration, the organization, the contracting, but it's now with you, right?
Yeah, so indeed, the Congress as of this year, so as of Lisbon, is organized by Global IFA, but and that's a very strong but, with the indispensable assistance and support of the hosting branch. So, as you know, because you organized Berlin, the organization of an IFA Congress is a major undertaking. We start preparations 5 years in advance, and the level of attention to detail is very high. And that means that it requires significant human resources, but it's also requiring significant financial resources, and it comes with a risk. So during and after COVID, we realized that the world of conferences might have changed so thoroughly that it would become difficult for branches to continue organizing the congresses. So we wanted to be able to be more supportive, and we also saw major benefits of joining forces more intensively, and also very importantly, not having to reinvent the wheel every year. So this is both for the benefit of the local branch and Global IFA as a whole. And to give you a very tangible example, we just received the evaluation results from Lisbon, and I already, start thinking about all the improvements we can make for Melbourne. So yeah, this new structure gives us those advantages, and also another very important advantage is that it allows us to build core and long-term relationships. One of them, for instance, is with our PCO. We have now the same PCO for the coming 5 years, so they also learn and improve and become more efficient in the way we organize the Congress. And also, very importantly, when we are talking about sponsors, in the past, every local branch needed to go to local sponsors, international sponsors, and start fresh every year. Whereas now we can build those relationships centrally and understand the needs, not only for this particular year and location, but for the longer term, and do our most to facilitate them and work as partners in that undertaking. And last but not least, I think that's also very important from a scientific perspective. We referred to the pivotal role of the Permanent Scientific Committee, organizing the congresses more centrally means that the PSC has a true oversight of the scientific program across the years and can very carefully then balance the selection of topics, the selection of speakers, and ensure that all the right topics are covered at the right location and at the right time. Yeah,
Yes.
so yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. You mentioned the feedback. So just real quick, if you're okay with that, what was your personal low light and highlight of Lisbon?
I will start with a highlight, if that's okay. No, so I think I'm leaving for a moment aside my official appointment in my current role because that happened at the General Assembly before the Congress. But I have actually two highlights, one from a participant's perspective and one as an organizer. And from a participant's perspective, and I really, really enjoyed the Fado performance. I was deeply touched by it. We were sitting at the same booth, and I have to admit, I went to that concert with perhaps certain stereotypical expectations, but it was really an amazing experience, and I hope everyone really enjoyed it as much as I did. As an organizer, there are a lot of things that go wrong on the background, smaller and bigger, and behind the scenes, there's always logistical chaos with AV not working, microphones falling out, wrong name boards on the stage, photographers not coming to an event and having to call last minute for another photographer. But I think what we tried to do with my team is to, hide those hectics, make sure they remain behind the scenes and that participants are blissfully unaware. And I think, we may have not succeeded 100%, but I think we did pretty good. So definitely, definitely a highlight. In terms of low points, I'm an optimist by nature, so I don't want to call them low points. It's more like opportunities for improvement. I think, our Congress is attended by people that come from all around the world and from different cultures. So feedback on food is always a point of feedback. And I totally get it. But just also coming back to the point of all the details, I counted this year 25 different dietary preferences that were submitted by our participants. So, we will do our best next year to facilitate as many of them, but it is a challenge and it will remain a challenge.
We are very uncomplicated, Anna, myself. It's beer and meat and we're happy.
Yeah.
Beer and pretzels. No, that's, so we're that's actually great. The German side. It's good. I didn't know that they're in 23 actually different variations, but you always learn. Yeah. Hitting half the hour, which... Yeah, sorry, Alexia.
No, I'm just saying it was also very enlightening, and I'm very sensitive to this issue, so I understand it. It's just that sometimes it's not the easiest to handle.
For sure. No, for sure. No, and yeah, that's fine. So yeah, looking, because we're hitting half the hour almost, and we're looking a little bit into the future, but I also want a little bit looking back, because the IFA Congress is also an event where you can meet people and get to establish relationships with really relevant people. And you meet them in a different setup, basically. So I want to ask a little bit already what we're going to see in the future. And by the way, Christian, looking into the past already, we actually get to know each other on an IFA Congress, I remember, in Vancouver, sitting on a terrace somewhere. And that's a nice thing because you meet people which you haven't known before. I think you have become head of Siemens just and very recently, basically. And you have the possibility to meet people from your own country, but also obviously from other countries. I'm just saying, Christian, because we see each other now relatively very, very often with the podcast, of course. How you basically meet people in another location is something which cannot be underestimated, basically, because it gives you a different perspective, how you suddenly connect to people outside of your usual kind of setup. So Alexia, just for you, the chance, what going to see in the future? What are the NIFA, next IFA Congresses and also topics that have been set already?
Yeah, Arne, I think you have really explained the beauty of the annual IFA Congress. It's the connections that you build with people and how you carry those through your professional career is I think that's really very important to highlight. So for the next years, we have a very clear plan on where we are going to be. The Congress in 2026 is going to be in Melbourne, Australia, from the 18th to 22nd of October. And we have two very exciting and very relevant main topics. So the one is the taxation of royalties and taxing the energy transitions. And we have also defined all the other seminars. And I encourage everyone to regularly check check our website, ifa2026melbourne.com for updates. We are also, we appreciate that for many of our IFA members, this is you know, a faraway trip. So we are trying to make the most of the SOSU program and have very exciting opportunities to connect with other people in very interesting settings, and also paying attention to past tours. So that is Melbourne. And then after Melbourne, we will continue to travel the world and visit Stockholm in 2027, Montreal in 2028, and Singapore in 2029. And it's really amazing to be able to visit such an area of continents in the upcoming years. And I can personally testify to that because I've visited all the cities. I've walked all the cities and I have seen more than 30 venues in every city. So every destination has great things to offer. We don't only have the Congress. You know, the Congress is the flagship event, but we also do many more things. We have another inspiring edition, actually the third edition of the Traveling Lectureship Program coming up in 2026. The TOP is consisting of lectures that are designed to focus every year on a different topic and bring forward both the global perspective and the local perspectives on these topics. So we visit, in 2026, we will visit 11 different cities across the five regions, where a lecturer and a local panel will discuss on the topic of the international dimension of withholding taxes in the context of tax treaties, but even broader. And this is really a wonderful opportunity to connect with our branches and to get these local perspectives, and also a great opportunity to promote our annual IFA Congress, because there's always a thematic correlation, and also because the Traveling Lectureship Program officially concludes with a dialogue at our Congress. Next to that, we will continue with the Tax Directors Webinar Series, which we started this year because it has been overwhelmingly attended. We had more than 1,200 registrations during the dialogue, the webinar we did in May. And I should not forget, because that's very important, the upcoming publication of the IFA book on tax treaty interpretation, which is going to be published very soon by the sister organization of IFA, the IBFD. These are the events that we organize globally, but you know, as I said before, we have very active regions and branches, so they all organize their events as well. And at the regional level, we have a regional conference coming up in Europe in Madrid in March. We have a Latin American region conference, which will take place in Antigua in Guatemala, and also an Asia Pacific conference, which will be in Tokyo. And both of them will be in May 2026. And all of this information is on our website.
Yeah. Wow. There's so much information. I think basically after this, you will have probably a massive inflow from German applications to basically manifest our leading position, because both our listeners are Germans, basically. So Sava Ditz, who I actually also send warm greetings, he will be very happy, who's leading all the German branch and does it very, very nicely together with Monika Winnemann. Just as a side note, we didn't have him today here, but he should not unmention basically because of all his efforts. And by the way, Christian, you as well, because you for a long time served this role as well and organized also very nicely the Berlin IFA Congress, where I can say to finalists was also very, very nice experience. So, okay, wonderful. So I think we have a very good inside view into the activities. We are now getting all, of course, very interested to travel a little bit further, visit the IFA Congress as well. Alexia, thank you so much for taking the time. It was really nice to basically reconnect and see what you have. So me also personally, to see what is your new role also after we've worked for a long time at PwC, and I know for sure that you're going to make a big difference and will make various positive contributions. I remember from PwC already how it was so nice and fantastic to work with you, and I'm very glad now that we see each other again, and I'm very curious how then also the IFA Congress will further develop, of course. Yeah.
Thank you, Arne. Thank you very much for your kind words.
Thank you from my side too, Alexa. It was really nice. See you soon. Hey,
it's a pleasure. See you.
It was a pleasure. Thank you all.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Frisch serviert, der Steuerpodcast, powered by CH Beck.